Good morning. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Welcome to The Conversation. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Beth Ann.
Listening to that music, I was wondering if maybe our crew was trying to help us hearken back to the golden days of journalism.
I guess. I can't be quite sure what their motive was, but we do think about the golden days, especially in Sunshine Week, yeah?
Well, and that's exactly where we are this week. The annual education effort to spotlight the importance of open government and freedom of information. It was launched as a national initiative by the American Society of News Editors in March of 2005. That was after several years of changes to the media landscape brought by consolidation, communication methods, and internet expansion. It wasn't a scenario that Michael Copps had envisioned when he joined the FCC in 2001, and it only intensified during his 10-year tenure. Some of that is detailed in an open letter to journalists. This week, he's in Hawaii talking about the sunshine and how much we may or may not have nationally and in Hawaii. Michael Copps joins us this morning. Thank you so much for taking time to be here.
Good morning. Thank you for taking time to have me on. I really appreciate it.
In your letter, it was primarily targeted to journalists, some of the people who have been really disadvantaged by the consolidation that we've seen, and we've seen the profession lose a lot of professional journalists over the last 10, 15 years. But in this, you say that you had joined the FCC with all these very high hopes, but the FCC that you actually came to know very quickly was one that had fallen, as you put it, madly in love with industry consolidation. It's one thing when we talk about TV, radio, print. Quite another when we talk about the internet. And your big warning for a lot of people who've based their lives in the internet is that it's going that way too.
Yes, and it's a shame. If we're going to move so much of our media and so much of our small d democratic dialogue, our civic dialogue to the internet, then we need to be very concerned about keeping that internet open and small d democratic. And instead, we're seeing now broadband and the internet go down the same trail that we saw with radio, television, and cable, toward increasing gatekeeping, toward control by a very few, toward rising consumer prices, towards their ability to block and prioritize traffic. And the tragedy is that this is such a dynamic and open and opportunity-creating technology. It should be a golden age of journalism. It absolutely should be, but it's not. And instead, what we're being presented with right now is a huge challenge and a huge problem, because if people aren't hooked up to this broadband, and everybody has it, hooked up to the internet, and unless that internet is kept open, so it's not controlled by a few, so nobody has the power to block content or tell you what news you're going to see on the internet or where you can go and where you can be directed, if we're going to let that happen, that's a tragedy of historical proportions. So
Do most people really understand what that would mean to have content blocked? I mean, we talk about that, and some people say it almost blithely. Well, it could mean that the content would be blocked. But really what that means for an average person could be that you don't get to see all the news, or someone is shaping your view of
right.
news, which happens in many cases anyway, but
pronounced
in this way.
If Comcast, which is now coming here in a big way by its proposal to take over the Time Warner, is in a position to say, well, we're going to favor this subsidiary of ours or this friend of ours, and we're going to make their traffic go faster on the internet so people can download it, and Hawaiian Public Radio, if they have internet, well, we'll just slow them down, you know. They don't deserve all of that priority traffic or speed. That's really a threat, I think. This is not just an economic issue. It's not just a technical issue. It's a democratic issue about how open is our civic dialogue going to be. And I think you can make the case that because of industry consolidation, with a few players buying up so much content and so much diversity, and the firing of 20, 30, 40,000 reporters, we've got so many reporters now who are walking the street looking for a job, and they should be walking the beat uncovering stories that don't get told. Unless we can figure out how to do something about that, we're imperiling our democracy. We have dumbed down our civic dialogue. And I think the message is very important out here, and that's one reason why I jumped at the chance to come out here with our friends at Common Cause and Media Council to this market, which is heavily concentrated. And there have been studies showing how just a very few players control the television and the media and the newspaper. You can actually test this. This is Sunshine Week. Tomorrow night we have an event called Media Transparency in Politics at the YWCA from 5:30 to 7:30. I hope people will come out on that. I want to see if big media is really going to cover that. You're covering it. Hawaii Public Radio is doing a great job in teeing this issue up for the people of this community. But I've been to so many places in the last 10 years where there are a few gatekeepers in control of the media, and they don't cover this stuff. But you go to a town that has small independent media, they'll cover it.
Let's talk about how the FCC that you see now may or may not be meeting some of those challenges. I mean, last month and earlier in the year, we heard about plans to walk into newsrooms and saying, well, you know, what's your position on this? And who really makes choices for the news? And there were other people who were journalists saying, you know, this is not okay. And some were just saying, well, that's just kind of the way it is. And there was no real consensus that maybe this was not appropriate.
We have to understand what the information needs of communities are and how they are being served. I think you can make the argument that maybe all aspects of the study that was being considered at one time weren't perfectly designed. But the commission has a responsibility to make sure that licensees are serving the public interest. That appears 112 times in the telecommunications law. So we've got to have some feel. If you come in to get your license renewed and you're getting free use of the airwaves and the ability to make a nice living off of that, but the law is very clear that you have to be serving the public interest and covering local community affairs and diversity within your communities and political campaigns and public issues. And if you're not doing that, then your license shouldn't be renewed. So I don't think there's anything untoward about the FCC trying to look into and certainly not getting involved in directing content, but just making sure that the original bargain is kept. You get free use of the airwaves. Are you serving the public interest? Are you helping this community? Or are you contributing to dumbing down the dialogue with all kinds of glitzy infotainment and no real in-depth journalism?
How do you peg the current FCC's ability to meet some of the challenges we've talked about?
I think the jury is out. We have some good commissioners there. We have a new chairman. He's saying many of the right things and surrounding himself with some good people. But these are huge questions, and they need answers. And if this commission is going to end up blessing a Comcast-Time Warner merger, or if it's not really going to take aggressive steps to protect the openness of the Internet, that so-called net neutrality issue, don't call it that. It doesn't mean anything. This is Internet freedom that we're talking about. And if they're not going to step up to the plate and do something aggressive and do it soon, then they will have failed their charge. And I will be extremely disappointed. But they have the opportunity, and I still have high hopes. But it's performance that counts.
And performance perhaps driven by public interest. How much public interest in this do you think there is?
Well, this is a public interest issue, and the challenge is for the public interest to be represented now. We know the big players are there. We know Comcast is walking the halls of the FCC right this minute while you and I are talking out here. They're walking the halls of Congress. They're spending millions of dollars to make sure that the FCC will get a lot of pressure to okay this merger. There are others who are thinking about gatekeeping and getting, you know, make sure the FCC doesn't come with new open Internet rules. That's a public interest. And I don't mind, you know, when I was a commissioner, fine, Comcast, come in and talk. Time Warner, come in and talk. But I always realize this isn't the ultimate constituent. The constituency is the American people. The FCC is supposed to be a consumer protection agency, a public interest agency. So get out of Washington and go around the country and see what people really think. And I think there's a lot of unease around the country. People understand that something isn't right with their media. They're sick of the kind of infotainment that passes for news nowadays.
Well, we'll see if that lack of ease with all of that translates into action on the part of the public. I look forward to our panel tomorrow night. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Michael Copps is a former commissioner of the U.S. Federal Communications Commission. His years there were highlighted by his strong defense of the public interest, outreach to non-traditional stakeholders, in the decisions of the FCC and actions to stem the tide of what he regards as extensive consolidation of the nation's media and telecommunications industries. He's currently spearheading a new media democracy and reform initiative at Common Cause and will speak at several Sunshine Week events sponsored by Common Cause Hawaii, Media Council Hawaii, and the Society of Professional Journalists.
The book of the book.